Hello, I'm Dulcie. I'm marketing specialist for Lowrance Europe. I'm speaking to you from the beautiful Lake Bolsena for the launch of our new Eagle Fish Finder. You're listening to the DNA Fishing Podcast with Dan and Ad.
Welcome to episode 8 of the DNA Fishing Podcast with Dan and Ad.
Hello, mate. How are you?
Good, thanks. Yeah, suitably tanned, not from my trip to Italy.
Well, as Dulcie's kind intro there just gave us, you've been away. You got your passport stamped again this year.
yeah, I'm doing all right.
So, other than eating a lot, what have you got to tell us about? Because there is something to reveal to us here, right?
Yes. So, I was extremely privileged to be invited to a launch event. From Lowrance, the marine electronics company, which I have affinity with. Dulcie and her colleagues did a fantastic job of, well, actually a mind-blowing job of trying to get 40 ambassadors, 40 anglers from around Europe to one destination about 2.5 hours north of Rome, all in one place, organised, fed and watered. And even a bit of fishing on top. So yeah, like it was cool, man. I mean, the carrot that they dangled was that we would get to go out on some pros boats out on Lake Bolsena. Yeah. And for those who don't know, the reason it excites a lot of us, especially us lure anglers, is that Lake Bolsena has black bass, aka largemouth bass, in it, which is something that seems constantly very far away from you and I when we're watching various YouTube videos from the United States, etc., wishing we were bass pros. So I finally got to live the dream, man. It was pretty sweet.
Mate, and when you said you were going, you weren't allowed to tell me specifically why you were going up, but obviously I was more excited about the fact that you were going to experience a little bit of black bass fishing out there and try, you know, as you say, like live the dream a little bit. So where do you want to start with, mate? Do you want to start with bass fishing on a Bass Pros boat and the wonderful experience of that, or the exciting new
pizza?
And pizza, of course. Yeah, we could do a pizza podcast. That is one of my specialities.
I think I'm going to get a t-shirt made with this slogan on, because I seem to say it a lot, but it was some of the best blanking I've ever done. I mean the reality of these things, like, you know, I was dripping stuff on social and people were getting a little bit frothy about the opportunity, but the reality of sort of a promotional event like this, you know, like I've said it already, there's 40 guys there and there's not 40 boats, so
no.
you get your timing slot, they hand out the bit of paper and you know what boat you're going to be on at what time. I think probably in the whole weekend I had about three and a half hours fishing, really. This already sounds like I'm queuing up for an excuse here, doesn't it? But yeah, like it was, I mean, as you said, it was just living the dream. I mean, first ever experience of being on a proper bass boat, like tick. Yeah. So I'm riding shotgun in the middle and I didn't see what speed we were doing, but like that first morning on the Saturday was pretty calm and, you know, we opened it up a bit and it was just everything you know it's going to be. The boats they chose, you know, like I guess all of the anglers were fairly local. I don't know how far some of them had trailed their boats, but I was lucky enough to get out on a guide's boat and from that lake itself. And yeah, it had all the, I mean, obviously it's going to have all the Lowrance electronics on it.
Sure, so yeah,
you know, they've got Active Target 2 and they've got the two you know, the stuff that we're just hearing about and reading about on YouTube, you know, they've got two active targets running simultaneously so they can see the forward view and the scout down view. Like, just everything was just like, oh, okay, this is serious, you know, like,
this is next
never
level.
Mind the fishing. And, like, you know, like we're all anglers. We all know it's like beginning, middle of March. It's some of the, you know, can be some of the hardest fishing. I was already bombarding this poor Italian pro with question after question from the moment the engine went off. Like, oh, what stage are we in? Are we at pre-spawn? How far from pre-spawn are we? You know, just like bombarding him because, you know, like I'm living the dream, you know, I'm living the dream and I've got limited, the clock's running. I've got limited time to like try and get as much out of it as possible. And yeah, it was just wicked. Like, not necessarily just because of the language barrier. You know, the guy spoke, well, pretty awesome English, really, compared to my Italian, that's for sure. and like, you know, like, it's still all that experience, just, you know, what's he, you know, the first thing you're doing is looking down, he's got all his rods set up, attached to the deck, and you're like, obviously you're looking through it, and it's like, oh, yeah, there's a spinner bait there. There's like a chatterbait. There's like, what else did we have? Wacky worm was set up. I was delighted to see that there was a mid-diving jerkbait set up. I had my eyes on that one straight away.
Nice, yeah.
And, yeah, you know, you're kind of working through all that. And, like, yeah, so we get to the first spot and, you know, obviously I've got one eye on the electronics. I'm not in front of the electronics, but I've got one eye kind of over a shoulder of the electronics, and the other side of me is like, okay, where have we stopped? Yeah, there's a bit of a looks like almost like a spit of land. I should explain. Lake Bolsena, it's volcanic. It's basically a sunken volcano. So if you look on Google Earth, it's fairly round.
Okay.
I don't, you know, haven't looked at it in huge great depth, but I'm guessing they're looking for in the shallow area of, I mean, there's hugely deep areas, but the shallow areas that we were fishing, same as we would, they're looking for signs on the shore, maybe there's a spit sticking out, etc. So I mean, it was so good. Like, he explained to me in a roundabout way, like, the season that I would expect us to be in, right, still a bit early. Maybe those fish have got spawning on their minds, but they're not there yet. They're not in pre-spawn. They're kind of like pre-spawn. And like, explain to me, and like, you'll get this because we've heard it a million times. They were in that phase, he was saying, where they need access to deep water because they still get the odd cold night or cold day, and they've got to stay warm. But they're also, if the weather allows, if there's a warm day, if the sun shines out, they're coming up. They need to be able to, in an area where they can come up out of the depth and either feed or sun themselves, sun their eggs or whatever. And we've heard that, although, like because our fishing is so, our freshwater fishing is so limited in the UK, we don't really get to do that. So it was lovely. That stuff that we get a buzz about listening to the US Bass Pros, like getting how the seasons migrate through. Like, I was actually in it for a few minutes and it was lovely to kind of hear.
That's
that.
Amazing, man.
It was cool.
As you're describing that there, and immediately I'm thinking, they're staging. It's what they say when they're staging. And
yeah.
So many lost hours watching Bassmasters Elite Series, the Opens, MLF. And we're picking up the lingo from America and their phrases and how they would describe stuff. And I can quite imagine that you've ended up on that boat and very, you know, in a limited time frame, and you're trying to think, well, what can I concentrate on? Because I need to learn something from this. So
yeah,
am I looking at what he's using? Am I looking at how he's using it? Am I looking at boat setup? You know, is electronics set up? Is that how I would do it? Is it? But you know, not better, but you know what I mean? Is it, you know, that's what I would do, that I wouldn't do that, or, you know, and in 3 hours, that's a lot. It's kind of Sophie's choice, really. You've got to make a decision on what you're going to focus on trying to pick up from this guy.
Yeah.
in a very short space of time.
I'm very rarely a defeatist, but I think I'd already gone into that those few hours on a boat, thinking, well, actually catching my first black bass is almost secondary to a guaranteed win of just keeping my eyes and ears open and trying to sort of gauge what's going on. That's what it was all about. So, I mean, an example of that, the guide was very courteous, you know, like recommended what to use, etc. But it was interesting to allow him to pick first, and he picked up a creature bait on a chatterbait. And yeah, I didn't think too much of it other than, oh, that's interesting.
It's a reaction bite. That's what's going on here. Yeah.
And, you say that, but it wasn't too long of watching him that I realised he wasn't fishing a chatterbait like maybe you or I would, as in like a retrieve and, you know, buzz him up a bit, retrieve, get a reaction bite. He was fishing it slow and methodical in a very similar way that you and I would fish a creature bait for any, you know, any species, whether it was wrasse or perch. Like, it was slow. It was slow and methodical. I wonder whether, you know, he wasn't using, in my language, he wasn't using a chatterbait as God intended.
No.
Like, but he was clearly methodical about how he was using it. And I wonder if he was just using it for a bit of noise or a tiny bit of flash, clanking it around up there, or maybe occasionally he was buzzing it to bring a few fish in. But yeah, that was interesting because I've never picked up on anglers on screen, YouTube, doing that. That was new. I hadn't seen that before. And then I was even more delighted when he clocked me watching him and showed me that he'd actually coloured in the gold chatterbait with a black Sharpie or whatever. So he'd not only had he kind of removed how we think of that kind of bait as like buzzing it, and he was slowly fishing it, but he'd also taken the flash away. So yeah, like, pretty cool straight away to see sound. That. Never seen that before.
He wanted sound, and that's an interesting thing, isn't it? Let the water temperature dictate your retrieves and things like that. This is something for a different day, maybe, but yeah, how interesting is that? And he got hooked up to one. We've all seen the pictures.
He landed two in front of the boat, and they were both good fish, and they were both fat, man. Like, I asked him, well, you know, like, what are they feeding on? What are they feeding on? And, you know, again, pidgin English, but I interpreted it that, you know, they could be feeding on anything, but I did wonder whether they were feeding up on crustaceans, hence his choice. Like, they were certainly fat enough, you know, like, they were really fat fish, so really healthy. It was nice to have a look at it. He was a lovely chap. Had a nice look at the fish. Let us have a look at the fish. Like, he explained, so in the top of the mouth, you know, they've got that bony mouth section. He happened to highlight, which to a fish geek was mega, that they had the fish had like a red rim on the edge of the mouth, and he says, you know, that he explained that's cold water. That's still a cold water fish, which I presume is, you know, they're having to sort of get the blood pumping around their body a little bit. But it was interesting because, you know, he doesn't know me from Adam, so to speak. Like, but it just so happened that he landed a cool little fish fact on me, and I really enjoyed like hearing that kind of thing. You know, there's only so much you can hammer a guy until you're probably annoying him. So, but yeah, it was just cool stuff like that. And then I started off on his recommendation of fishing a spinner bait. It wasn't particularly deep, as you can imagine, fishing a spinner bait, and that was fine. And I was fan casting around, just hoping for a bump. And then this is cardinal sin, but, you know, like, the guide has told you what to fish. But this jerk bait's just like looking at me from the floor.
Yeah.
And I don't know how long after it was, but I said, oh, do you mind if I use the jerk bait? And he said yes, which I was delighted about. But I think he took that as a sign to like move on. Like, I think as a guide with that level of experience, he was like, oh, we'll move to an area where you're more likely to catch on a jerk bait, which was nice of him. I'm reading into that. But that was nice of him. And that was interesting again because, you know, we hit the afterburners, went a bit further down the lake. And actually, it was super interesting because we went to this little bay and I couldn't help but feel it felt exactly like our favourite mark at Grafham. Like, you know, you're like miles away. It's a volcanic lake, but just how it was set up, like, ahead of us, upwind of us, was a little point, and it looked like the wind was kind of blowing a little bit of sediment off of it. And then you had this kind of bay, sort of downwind of it, that was kind of a bit sheltered by a few reeds and trees and whatever. And it felt like I was at home, weirdly. And so we pull into this bay, and he jumps on the front, and he's got Active Target 2 running. And you can see, you know, like we've seen a million times or in our roundabout way we do ourselves. He's scanning this bay and he's clearly looking for individual fish. Whereas in the previous spot, I felt like we were almost, it didn't feel like power fishing because I think we were in the wrong time of the year to power fish.
Yeah.
But it was just like we were just fan casting around trying to catch fish. Whereas here, it was clear that he wanted to motor around this bay to try and find individuals. And I might be wrong, but again, all that intel that you and I have sponged up from YouTube watching the US Bass Pros, I think I know what he was doing. I think like we'd gone into like a bay and I was brave enough to ask him, I was like, is this an area that would be a bedding area like in season? And he was like, yeah, it is. And I thought to myself, I know what you're doing. You're looking for those early fish that are nowhere near bedding yet. But like those big, you know, I can imagine those big girls, like our own sea bream fishing, they get in there early and or in our case, the males, they get in there early and they're like, this is my area. I'm not ready to do anything yet, but this is mine and I'll fight
you for it. Down.
And I just feel that's what he was doing in that bay. He was looking for those early fish that might have progressed a little bit further in the process of breeding. And yeah, I mean, I could tell he was a lovely guy because, you know, I got a feeling that he was doing that specifically so I could throw a jerk bait at it. But as it happens, I didn't connect with anything. I didn't even have a bump, actually. But I was having an awesome time, as you can probably imagine.
He sounds like an absolute gentleman because he's in a monologue. When you said, do you mind if I have a go on your jerkbait setup? His inner monologue would have been, yeah, if you let me have a go on your wife for a couple of hours, then sure, help yourself. Do you know what I mean? Oh, man, with that, that would have been a podcast in and of itself because I'm sure you could rabbit on about that for another hour or so. And between the lines, what I'm hearing is you're saying that we simply must go back for a week to go black bass fishing. I mean, that's basically what I've taken from that exchange.
Pizza and black bass.
Bass and all that kind of stuff. Now, you did share the boat with the inimitable Mr. Honey as well. I saw some images.
Yeah. Ross was fishing a wacky worm, which actually I think he got a bit bored of, but secretly I was watching it thinking I'd quite like a go on that.
Well, let's hope he doesn't transfer that across to the sea and start catching all of our big balans, because that would be a problem, Mr. Honey, if you're listening.
Yeah.
Well, man, like I say, that in itself, that's a story without... that's all pure gold right there. That's just amazing. So that would have been an experience in and of itself, right? But let's not forget, that was the sideshow. That was the attraction to drag 40 people from all the four corners of Europe for the big reveal, which is something that Lawrence drip-fed last week, I believe. and there was plenty of gossip going around.
Yeah, the teaser video was out, and the
experience.
Internet.
What I'm guessing were those virtual reality / AI super glasses that we've all been waiting for.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not the augmented vision head-up display glasses that I was hoping for, but maybe that's next year.
Well, thanks for listening, guys. Anyway, and we'll be back with you next time.
Once you knew what it was, the teaser video was painfully obvious that it was Lowrance relaunching their Eagle brand of entry level fish finders, which, on the face of it, tournament anglers, you know, might not find hugely exciting, but it's far from it, really. I mean, like, yeah, you're a bit disappointed that it's not going to be a newfangled device that, you know, catches you double anyone else in the next tournament. But you have to remember that we all started somewhere, and probably the worst place to be right now is being fearful or maybe sceptical of allowing any kind of technology to help you out. So, yeah, I mean, in a nutshell, what they've done is the classic technology way of bringing down the latest technology that you and I and others have been using for a few seasons in the top end devices.
Mm.
Well, now some of that is finding its way down to much more accessible price points.
Yeah,
and that's what they've done.
So we're getting actively some trickle down technology that is, let's be frank, probably more than enough for most of us, and I'm including myself in that, for what 75% of your average boating day would do for you. But that said, you've got to see, feel and touch what is the... So how are we describing it? It's the Lowrance Eagle? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, the Eagle is the range. I guess previously in their range, it would have been the Hook Reveal.
Yep.
I think this is going to probably replace that. It's obviously an advance in the technology. I think the way I interpreted it, there's two things going on. The technology is filtering down, as I say, but also they've really tried to think about creating a new range of devices, fish finders, that are applicable to someone coming in that... you know, coming in from that end, you know, first device, maybe you've got a basic fish finder that you bought 10 plus years ago and it's time to upgrade it.
Yeah.
You know, budget focus potentially, like all of those things. So there are some innovations, like, for instance, you know, two of them are, like, the connections that you've got on these devices are more robust, more simple. You know, like you and I, like I can remember, we've done pins in the back of our sounders before, and it ruins that day fishing before you get a replacement, doesn't it? So,
yeah,
like it's not exciting, but this is the stuff that helps you in your fishing.
Yeah, well, I've snapped pins in the back of plugs before. I guess for some guys that are able to keep all their electronics on their boat, it's a one and done, isn't it? They fit it on and it never comes off again until it gets replaced or the boat gets cleaned, you know, thoroughly. But for us, I mean, not your boat now, actively, because, you know, your stuff tends to stays on there. But for my little boat and where we used to keep our previous boats, every time we visit and come away, all that stuff comes on and off every time because there are, sadly, light-fingered folk about. And so quick release, well, not necessarily quick release, but more robust, you know, fixing systems is a no-brainer. I mean, that is something that all, even the prestige level units and stuff could learn a lot from, because it's, you know, we do it when we're on reservoirs, right? We're unplugging, plugging in all the time. So that for me is important, and it makes a big difference. You know, it's a good selling point for anybody. So
yeah, we have had days fishing ruined by that exact challenge. So that was good.
We've
mentioned the ECA there, like in our trailer boat launching days. And again, another tiny point, but I was delighted to see that Lowrance had spent effort on redesigning the transducer mounts for the back of the boat.
Wow.
They went out of their way to say they've tried to make those more robust.
Yeah.
You know, like, again, like we've experienced that. It's not the most exciting thing, but I can remember many times where, because we're bringing that boat on and off a trailer, and, you know, like, it's not always flat calm. Sometimes that boat's bouncing about on launch in the run there.
Yeah.
Down at Langston, and you don't notice that you've bounced that transducer out until you're up on the plane and you wonder what the hell that is and why you haven't got a banging about and why you haven't got a signal. So stuff like that's going to be important. I mean, that's something that I think I've seen on the forums again and again, is, you know, someone's bashed into something and they've knocked their transducer clean off. Like that is going to ruin a day's fishing for you. So it's super cool that they've looked into that level of detail.
For anyone that's launching their boats, and particularly this might be a UK problem, really, in that there will be a lot of anglers who exclusively use hire boats on some of the Anglian water reservoirs and things like that, that have never, and good for them, by the way, because it's no fun, launching boats, bouncing them up and down, and a transducer, it's easy, you know, it's easy to knock when it's coming on off a trailer. And particularly for us, you know, we've had to retrieve a boat back onto a trailer in a stiff easterly wind, and there's a big swell because there's boats running up and down, and that boat, exactly. Essentially, we have to jump it back on a trailer rather than carefully slide it up on the bunk. So anything like that is a massive boon for anybody, regardless of, again, whether you're talking about an entry-level product or a, you know, or a prestige product, you know, a top level. So that's massive, man. And so to cut back to the screen, the display, if we were trying to describe that, and by the time this drops, I'm sure all these images will be out there for people to see. Well, we know because we found an image not very long ago, so they are out there now. This is a full... We've got mapping. We've got...
Yeah.
So
yeah, well, I'll run you through it.
Tech
bombers. I've got the list in front of me.
Tech bomber.
Yeah, so in terms of what's available, there's a 4-inch, a 5-inch, a 7, and a 9-inch. So for those, like, our good selves that are starting to get on a little bit, you can get a nice big screen, a 9-inch, help you see the detail. That screen itself, that's one of the big parts of the technology coming down. It's got a much better high definition screen on it with a bit of jargon that doesn't really matter, called IPS. IPS screens are the ones that you can still see when you've got your polarized glasses on and from different angles. Now, I'm pretty sure, I mean, to try and highlight how this technology is coming down quickly to the price points, the screens that you and I use for our freshwater portable system, when we go to Grafham, etc., we're using these in tournaments, they don't even have that. And we had those, what, probably 6 to 8 years ago. So already, like, the low end or the entry end of that technology has got features that you and I haven't got on our top-end screens from not all that long ago, really. So that's pretty cool.
And that's massive because, you know, how many times have we been, particularly on Grafham, or, sorry, any reservoir, really, where we're using our portable setup? So I've got a screen at the front, you've got a screen at the back. Sometimes we've got another one in the middle. And you've said, oh, did you see this? And I'm trying to crane my neck around it. You've got to turn it square onto me so I can actually see what you're looking at. So if someone's fishing out the stern of the boat and they're on a drift or something, and they're craning their neck over to have a look at, you know, what's going on there, again, that's a big difference, you know, and it's something that hopefully we'll all benefit from in all the units across there pretty soon. I'm sure that's probably the way. So we got
so that's the screen. You get the same operating system that you get through the range, so you know all the good stuff. It's not dumbed down in any way. You've got transducer options, which terrifies some people, but we'll try and simplify it. So you either get your 2D sonar, which for those of you that are just starting to look at it, that's like your, what you traditionally see, a white or blue background with like primary colours showing fish arches. That's your traditional 2D mm-hmm. sonar, good for fish finding. And you also get downscan, so sometimes known as structure scan. That's like traditionally you would see that as a darker image. And to the layman, that's the kind of imagery that you see that looks a bit more photographic, if that makes sense. Like if you were to drift over a wreck or a submerged tree, depending on what kind of fishing you were doing, the down scan is what draws an image that to your eye is familiar to you. You're like, oh yeah, I can see that's the boiler on a wreck, or yeah, I can see that's the branches on a tree. So you get both those technologies. That's the one option. And yep. then you've got another option, which is to buy a 3-in-1 HD transducer. I think they're calling that triple shot. And mm-hmm. that has that technology I just described, but it also has side scan. Now, I feel like we hang around in different circles, right? So one minute we're on a tournament at Grafham. Mm-hmm. And pretty much everyone there is, you know, understands the latest tech, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But we do hang around with also lots of people that, you know, probably only got 2D traditional sonar on their boats. And, you know, when they've looked at what we've got, they ask us, well, why do you need that then? I mean, side scan. Yeah, side scan. We've had quite a journey on side scan, haven't we? Because probably before I got the big boat, maybe 10 years ago, we were in that camp. We were like, what the hell? What, you know, what advantage is it? You know, because we come from sea fishing, trailer boating, anchoring the boat, fishing out the back of the boat in tide. And probably where you and I were at was, well, why do we need to know what's left and right of us? Like, we're fishing out the back of the boat.
And we didn't. And quite simply put, when you're at anchor and you're fishing out the back of the boat, side imaging, it's not really helpful.
It does nothing for you.
Because it's not really giving you the image that you want. So it's the kind of thing that we all would have witnessed on, like, a trade stand at a boat show or something. We would have looked at it and we would have been looking at pre-recorded demos showing American stuff, showing, as you say, you know, laydowns, trees, that kind of stuff, and thinking, well, we don't fish over many trees where we're going, so that isn't really an issue for us. You know, we're not fishing grass, we're not fishing that kind of stuff. And yet, when you dialed it in on the new boat, it opened up a world. I got so excited then I banged my table. It opened up a world to us, didn't it?
Do you remember that first day when we went bream fishing?
Incredible. Incredible.
Yeah,
it literally changed our bream fishing in over a period of like 2 weekends. Completely. Turned it on its head.
Well, let me get into that a little bit then, because it's still a pretty vivid memory that I have. Like, so Dan and I have, you know, we're inshore sea fishermen. So we enjoy, like, the inshore stuff as much as, like, big fish hunting out deeper. And one of the things we particularly like, we've always liked it, is fishing for black bream, a type of sea bream that we're lucky enough to have on the south coast there. And the areas that we fish are quite reefy. Like, but to be fair, the reason that we know that it's a section of reef that we fish is because old-timers that we hung around. Yeah, well, we lost anchors there, but the old-timers were good enough to give us GPS coordinates and also paper charts back in the day. You know, they gave us a hint that there was a bit of structure there.
Yeah.
And you and I have fished those areas for, God, what? Well, now, probably best part of 30 years, I would have thought.
Yeah, let's not give our ages away. Let's keep a little bit of mystique for the
best part of 2 years. Yeah. And Yeah, we thought we knew these marks, and we were good at catching fish. And then I remember, you know, I just decked the new boat out with all the good stuff. I had I had Lowrance units, and I had the side scan for the first time. And I remember we pulled up to a section of reef and slowed down the boat, trimmed the engine a little bit to get a good picture on the side scan. And we couldn't believe what we saw, could we? It would have been May time. And the reason I know that is because what we saw instantly was like a lunar landscape, because what we know now is that we kind of knew it then, that the black bream were coming inshore to breed, to spawn.
Yeah.
And these days, I think it's fairly common knowledge that black bream are nest builders. But when we flipped the side screen on and we motored for maybe 200, 300, 400 yards down the reef system that, again, we'd fished for many, many years, what we saw for the first time was how these bream nests were situated around this rocky reef. And yeah, it was like a hallelujah moment, wasn't it? It was amazing. All that guesswork that we'd carried for all those years, all that hard work about why do we like this mark better than that mark? Why do we like to anchor that side of the reef and not that side of the reef?
Yep.
It was just plain to see. We could see what was going on. We could see where the nests were being built. We could see where fish were positioning themselves around those nests. Man, that was pretty epic.
These went on, in some cases, for a mile away from the reef, didn't they? They went on for a long, long way.
And six to 8 years later, I'm still finding new nests this technology.
Yeah.
2 years ago, I found a new set of a new bream area on the Isle of Wight that I never ever would have found. It's probably only, I wouldn't be surprised if it's only 20 metres squared, which in sea fishing terms is a tiny little area. I found that on side scan, and that's been really good to me. No, I bet my bottom dollar no one else is fishing those bream. Like, and it's such a small area.
These things are so simple, that most of us over the years have been guilty of not doing it. But you could be running through there at idle, for want of a better word, just in gear, running through on this new unit that you're describing, on the new Eagle. They could drop their cursor on top of those nests. They could drop a pin on that. That stays there forever. They can plot that over the next 3, 4, 5 years. You'll get your data set. Are they moving? Are they shifting? What's happening here? And you can build up a picture on your screen of, you could take that home with you if you want, power it up indoors and kind of get your tech. The biggest thing about me for that, and you could argue about, you know, active target and all these things that they give us more information. It answered so many questions for me, because when we're talking about nesting fish, breeding fish, there was so much hearsay and, let's be honest, blind gossip and misinformation about what they're looking for. Why are they here and not there? You know, and so and so and so and so. All of a sudden, side imaging, it just answered all of that instantly.
Yeah.
And there's an argument to say that, you know, it's you're targeting breeding fish and all that. That's an argument for another day. That isn't necessarily what we're talking about here, because side imaging does way more than as we've just described there. We've used it to great effect at Grafham for targeting pike and Xander.
We used it at WPC. Like, the winning fish, when the fish came in that we thought we'd done it, that was an entirely down to side scan. 100%. And by the way, the side scan, we've already said, we're using old tech for our portable, like stuff we use at Grafham. Like, this stuff that's come out today is probably better in terms of, like, the picture and the imaging that it will do. So, you know, think that we won a tournament using stuff that's sort of unobtainium. Like, I think this is actually better, what they've launched today, in terms of what I've seen anyway. I mean, we used that in that event. We used that for trying to target pike. So the way that we use that in freshwater is we'll set ourselves up around tow or wind direction, and then we will cruise in areas at a relatively slow speed, 2-3 miles an hour, and we will be looking for big fish on side scan that are set up with the tow on the day. And the reason we find them is because on the side scan, any fish that's off the bottom is going to create a shadow, which gives us two things. It identifies the fish, but also gives us an idea of how big those fish are, which when you're in a tournament that comes down to, you know, in this case it was your longest pike, we're looking for a long pike. So that helps us one way or the other. And we use it in such a way that when we've spotted a fish that looks interesting to us, we stick a pin on it, and then that's the job done for the side scan. Then we move to more traditional fishing, but now we know where that fish is sitting. We can queue up in such a way of it that we can cast to it and fish for it. And that worked very well, right? Because the first large fish we found that day, weirdly, you were jumping around quite irritated by it, is the first fish we had wasn't the pike that we required. It was it was quite a big Zander, if I remember correctly, which helped us upgrade.
I wish I remembered things like that. I forget how big that was. It was in the 80s, wasn't it? I think it was up in the upper 80s, 89 or something. But I was just gutted it wasn't the pike, because I was worried that that was our shot, and not that we'd missed it, but we'd, you know, we, of all the pike that were landing in that area, and we found the one big Zander that happened to be there, you know, and in an area that we would never have fished for Zander. But we persevered, we moved around, and then we found the pike that we needed to get us across the line. Interestingly, not only did it, on side imaging, in that circumstance, not only did it pick out the fish, but we could pick out little patches of weed on the bottom. So if we didn't see a fish, but we saw a patch of weed, then maybe we'd come around it from the other side and have a look at it, just in case we're missing something there, and maybe 360 that, just to be sure that we're not missing it. In the sea, for anyone, you know, we're getting close to play season now, you'll pick up your muscle beds on side imaging. If you tune it nicely and you practice at it, you'll be able to pick up the difference in, and it's all about muscle beds. As we know from all kinds of fishing, you know, mussel beds is killer for 1,000 species, let alone, you know, place fishing. It'll also give you a nice image of bait fish up in the water on a side imaging. So you can, it isn't purely for reading the substrate or reading the bottom. It gives you a top-down view, but it from a different perspective. And you know, it's the kind of thing that we've all planted ourselves on a boat, particularly in the sea, and said, oh, I'd love to get down and just have a look and see what we were dealing with. Well, use your down scan, use your 2D, use your side imaging, and rather than motor out to your spot on your numbers that you've been fishing for 30 years and drop the pick down and pour yourself a cup of tea, as you will do regularly, even on spots that we've fished since we were in short trousers, we'll get somewhere, take 5 or 10 minutes, drive around, circle around with your, use your electronics. They've cost you a lot of money after all, so get your money's worth out of them. Because by the time you've got the anchor down and your bait's in the water, get active imaging aside, your electronics are done with at that point. You've done your work already, and this little unit, or not so much little unit, the 9s and the 7s, those units there are going to do all these things with comparative ease, right, by the sounds of it. I mean, this is no different than the interfaces that I might be using on my Gen 3, as an example. So this is...
I think I got a feeling these are ahead of the Gen 3. Gen 3 is the old tech that we're using. It's got a bit more networking, etc. But in terms of the screens and the transducer technology, I think these are... I think we're being left behind already.
Already we're left in the dark. So that's amazing. And... So, but talk us to us a little bit about the auto-tuning aspect of it, because...
I think that comes into the fact that they've tried to look at it, who the target audience is at these price points. And, it's terrifying, isn't it? Because, you know, the first time you get a new... Well, if you asked me to move from iPhone to Android, I would instantly be terrified. I can't see when I'll have enough hours in the day to get my head around that. And I think that's probably one of the biggest stumbling blocks with marine tech is, you know, the fear that you won't be able to set it up properly. So, you know, they put a lot of effort into making sure that process is as easy as possible. Like, although it's interesting, I mean, in the spiel, you know, literally it says that the auto-tuning provides optimal settings from the start. Like, if I'm entirely honest with you, I think I've always felt that about Lowrance specifically. Mm. Like, my sounder, it's on auto 90% of the time.
Me too.
Like, if there's a lot of clutter in the water, I might dumb down the sensitivity by 2 button presses. Like, so that's what I like about it. Like, I definitely spend my day fishing. I don't spend my day playing with the buttons on my sounder. In the time that I had available to look at these systems over the weekend, like, it wasn't apparent, like, what the difference was. But I suppose I'm saying I already thought Lowrance was good at that anyway. So, you know, if they've managed to squeeze a little bit more out of it, then, yeah, even better.
Yeah, of course.
I think one of the other features that maybe sits alongside that is fish reveal. I think you know fish reveal. Like, it's actually not, it's a feature that's been around for a while. And actually, this is going to sound a bit weird, but it's a feature that you and I don't really use, do we? But
no.
I think fish reveal, what it is like a software feature that makes it easier for a novice or someone who doesn't spend hours and hours a month fishing to try and interpret what they're looking at on the screen. So, I mean, the classic example that we've all had, we've definitely had it, is, you know, you kind of get sold the history that you're looking for arches and shapes on the 2D sonar. And, you know, if you go out in May in our neck of the woods, there's about a gazillion pieces of little weed suspended in the water, like, as the weed dies off, May water or whatever you want to call it. And your whole screen will be full of inverted commas fish. Fish reveal, saving you the tech, what's actually going on there. What that tries to do is it uses the two technologies, the 2D sonar and the down scan. And what it actually does is pull out of the screen what it believes to be the fish rather than all the clutter around it, which... Yeah. I think if that technology had been around when you and I and Pete got into our first marine electronics, it would have been a godsend, wouldn't it? I think the only reason that we don't use it now, we're just being totally honest about it, is we've got, I don't know what we've got, 10, 15 years of experience of interpreting that screen. So, you know, hence we don't use it, but we can definitely see the value in that.
But in that said... And you're right, of course, but I remember instances where we've been perch fishing and they are tight to the bottom, really tight. And then even though I've seen it, we've made a pass and I've looked, because you know what to look for and you think that looks promising, I might just flick fish reveal on just to give me that bit of confidence. Because especially
get
if you're
second
having
opinion.
If you're having a slack day and you think, you know, and we've all had it out on the boat, you're having a bit of a dumb moment and you're not really, you're thinking, I'm not feeling it today. I'm not really picking stuff up. Flick it on, see what it reveals to you. And it might just give you that confidence. Well, that they are fish and I'm going to try and get involved with them. So that is, it's an excellent example of stuff being dragged from the top to a lower price point. But I think it's important to say here that if I was still a weekend boater, you know, just fishing club comps and doing all that kind of stuff, you know, which is what most of the, you know, and I'm not denigrating any of this, you know, as we know, a lot of the guys that we know and fish with and alongside a legendary angler sort of thing, you know, and they've got to that point without this technology. Imagine what they're going to be like if they use this technology rather than, and I've been on boats with guys, and again, I'm not talking it down, but they're using it really, they want to see depth, and they're using the map to see where they can drop their anchor. Because for years, we'd never had any of those things, and all of a sudden now they've got that. A lot of the units they've got already may well have some of this technology in it that they haven't really unlocked or used. And now if they're in the market for something but they don't want to drop big money on it, and Lord only knows you can drop insane money on marine electronics. I've been looking at the moment about maybe upgrading to Active Target 2 or whatever, and it means new screens and transducers and all the business.
Yeah, it gets expensive very quickly.
And it's eye-wateringly expensive. But you know, for most of what people do, that isn't necessary at all. No. But for, and we don't know what the price point's going to be on any of this stuff yet, but by virtue of the fact that,
we know ballpark figures, and by the time that this podcast comes out, I'm sure they'll be publicly available. There. But yeah, I've got a from price that I noted down that it was like from 130 quid. I mean, that'll be for the little Bubba screen. Mm. But yeah, I mean, that's not a lot of money these days, is it?
Well, look, I think, again, and you and I have been guilty of this over the years. Everything in boats is expensive, from running it to fuel, especially these days, fueling the thing, keeping it somewhere. You know, there's a reason why
everything.
It's bring on another 1,000. And sometimes it's easy with your electronics to think, well, I'll drop a few quid on a decent VHF because that might save my life. And then, so I'll need a sounder of some kind to make sure I don't run aground. And then we've done it. You think, well, we won't drop big money on that. We think we, you know, because...
Well, because you don't know what you don't know, right? You don't know what it's going to give you.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, hard. And
something like this, it sounds like, with the new Eagle, is that they haven't got to drop big money on a unit, and they're still receiving an insane amount of tech that...
Yeah.
That would have been out of reach for many of us.
All the good stuff's not there, man. I mean, the list goes on, and I feel like we're already like dangerously close to a sales pitch.
Yeah.
But...
This isn't necessarily just about today talking about Lowrance's new product drop and all that kind of stuff. This isn't an infomercial. We're not receiving any free ones, as far as I'm aware. I certainly haven't received any in the post. But what I'm saying
is,
get
some pizza. Do I have to flag that? Probably do these days.
Well, you didn't.
I may have received pizza.
You've got to declare it, I would imagine, to someone, but I didn't receive any of it, so that's null and void, I'm afraid. But this tech, let's be honest, you know, it could be on Lowrance. There are, you know, other brands are available, believe it or not. You know, you might be surprised to find, but if you can dial yourself in on this stuff, you haven't got to have a degree in marine electronics to be able to understand it. I can understand enough
of
it.
Or install it.
No, all install it. Exactly. It's pretty straightforward now. It does. Don't be frightened of it, is what I'm getting at. Don't think that it's beyond anybody, because it really isn't. These companies know what they're doing in terms of marketing it and designing it in such a way that most of us older guys, boating has become an older guy and gal pastime now because of the costs involved in it. If you can work an iPad, if you can work your phone, you can work one of these. You know, that's the way I would describe it, regardless of the brand. But obviously today, it's sort of pertinent to the fact that this is a new unit that's dropped. And if I was at a boat show tomorrow, I'd be intrigued to press some buttons and have a play with it. And from what you've just said there, I'm pretty sure I would look at it and go, this looks pretty similar to what I've got now, which was a 1,500 quid unit 6 or 7 years ago.
That's exactly how we're going to feel, which is as exciting
as it is depressing. So, well, you know, the good people at Lowrance have delivered something that hopefully makes that technology open to a wider audience. And I think if it gets more people out there catching fish and enjoying themselves, well, yeah, I'm all for it, mate, personally. You know, bring it on. And I'll be excited to see one in the flesh at some point.
I just thought, do you think I could get 2 of the 4-inch, like, tape them to my head for that virtual reality glasses view I was hoping for?
it would be something, yeah. Yeah, what are you going to dangle two transducers off of? Is that... maybe that's something for another...
Something for another pod,
I would imagine. Like, yeah, but that's pretty cool. Is that the little mini ones? Are they kayak-minded, are they? Are they bracketed, those ones? Can you remember? Or are they on their little...
The honest answer, I don't know.
Okay.
I remember, you know, like you and I going out with... Sheen or whoever else, and you know, there was a point at the time not all that long ago that that's all you saw was portrait view fish finders in portable units or whatever. Is it not like I feel like there's a real affinity with like ice fishing and stuff like that?
It would be,
I don't know. But yeah, but, I mean, yeah, in terms of a little portable device, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, so, well, and again, if someone's running around in a little 10, 11, 12, 13-foot boat, they're running around harbours in it, and all they want to do is know what depth they're running at and things like that, when that's going to do it all, isn't it? For what, 130 quid? Dear, oh dear. Do you know what I mean? You know, that's it's all relative, of course, but, you know, in boating terms, that's not an engine service. Do you know what I mean? These days, so yeah. Oh well, I'm pleased you got buzzed up about your trip away, man. I'm pleased you filled your belly up. I'm disappointed that I wasn't allowed to come.
Sorry,
but you know, that's something I'll take up with your immediate supervisors at some point in the future. But yeah,
well, we're both going to be colouring in our chatterbait. Collections by the sounds.
That's a takeaway from this, isn't
it? I'm off to find a Sharpie.
Colouring our chatterbait blades, yeah. We've got all that going on.
Can we stick one of those in a RAS? Because we're only about a month away, potentially.
I would love to stick one of those in a RAS. Speaking of which, well, not seriously speaking of which, but we have had some other questions we will address at a later date. I don't want people to feel that we're ignoring them. We have had some. If anyone wants to follow up with particularly Laurent-based questions for Ad, because he's too humble to admit it, but he knows his stuff, particularly with Laurent's kit. You know, there's no question about everything I've learned off of you. So, you know, if anyone has got any stuff, then feel free to forward it to us, dnafishingpod@gmail.com. We've got other stuff coming up. We've got other pods in the bank that we haven't dropped yet, so... It was just
we can mention the big one. Some stuff has happened that unfortunately has delayed us in getting that out ahead of this one. But
what people might think, by the way. It's nothing to do with that. That isn't... I don't want people to get way low.
No, it's as usual, it's our incompetence.
It's us. Yeah, it's us. It's nothing to do with Facebook pylons or anything like that. Dear, oh dear. But so there's one in the bank that will get dropped as soon as we can... We can figure that out. We have got some questions that we're going to answer when it ever comes around to the next one. But until then, mate, I imagine you're firmly off of the bread this week, are you? You're full of pizza and breadsticks and bakery products.
Totally.
I'm presuming you haven't told any of that to the good lady in your life, because that she would never let you leave again. Yeah. And by the time this drops, the Eagle stuff will be out there for us all to see, and hopefully. One day I might be getting my hands on one. We'll have a little play with one, but it'd be interesting to see what people think of it, because certainly in terms of what it's delivering, in terms of the tech, well, you know, we can vouch for a lot of that tech in terms of how much it's helped us over the years. And, you know, we're just a couple of simple blokes with some fishing rods in our hands. So if it helps us out, I'm sure it'll help everybody out. Because it's all useful stuff, using
that tech imminently. Yeah, like I say, we're probably within a month of our fishing taking off in the salt, so not long now.
We're pretty close, man. Oh, well, it's nice to have you in the country for at least a couple of hours, mate, before wherever
you're... Yeah, where can I go next?
I don't know. Wherever, something fishing-related somewhere, I hope. So, okay, well, we'll be with you maybe next week, week after, we'll drop something. But until then, I hope you found some of that useful. Hopefully someone's found that informative along the way. And once we get back out in the water and spring and summer begins, maybe we'll try and enlighten a few people with some other stuff along the way. So, cheers, man. Welcome home.
Ciao.
Speak to you later.